Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, but she's in St. Louis, Missouri today, with a preaching entitled, Loving God and Neighbor in Messy Situations.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." For many of us, today's gospel passage reads like a Cliff Notes version of the Bible. If you don't have time to read the whole book, if even the Ten Commandments feels like too much, remember this, love God and love your neighbor. Many of us have memorized these words since childhood, and some of us even have a bumper sticker of them stuck to the back of our cars. We've created any variety of memes about them on Facebook. It's hard to say much about the importance of loving God and loving your neighbor that hasn't already been said thousands upon thousands of times. And yet today these words from Scripture coincide with the feast of St. Charles Lwanga and companions, a company of martyrs who perhaps we do not know about as much as we should, and who provide a relatively recent example of how sticky it can be to try to live love of God and neighbor in the complexities of the real world. The story of Charles and his friends starts in the kingdom of Buganda, in the country that would now be known as Uganda, in the 1880s. It was a terribly messy time in global history. Christian missionaries from Europe were actively reaching out to the African peoples at the same time as European nations were increasingly involved in the colonization of the African continent. The two efforts were so deeply intertwined that it was almost impossible to separate them one from the other. Charles, or Kololi Lwanga, was an attendant in the court of the Bugandan King Mwanga, who had a mercurial relationship with the Christian missionaries. On one hand, Mwanga's father had welcomed both Protestant and Catholic missionaries, and on the other hand, Mwanga knew that missionaries came with strings attached to the British and the French empires that could politically and culturally threaten everything the people of Buganda had ever known. Many of the attendants in Mwanga's court did wish to be baptized as Christians, including Charles Lwanga, as well as Mwanga's chief attendant, Joseph Mukasa. And in preparing for baptism, the attendant's relationship to Mwanga began to change, whereas before it was normal for the king to expect sexual favors from the young teen attendants. Now, Joseph Mukasa and Charles Lwanga tried to thwart the king's access to young attendants, raising general tensions within the court. The two men understood the king's behavior to be against God's law and cracking the system of unquestioned sexual obedience to be part of what it meant to show love to their neighbor, these attendants. Mwanga, however, saw it as European cultural norms interfering with his own. Tensions came to a head when Mwanga ordered the execution of an Anglican English bishop named James Harrington, who had crossed into the kingdom of Buganda unannounced by the east, rather than via the normal southern road. For Mwanga, Harrington's behavior was akin to that of a robber sneaking in the back door rather than that of a guest arriving appropriately to the front door. And likely Harrington had no idea that he'd done something so culturally offensive. And although Joseph Mukasa did not know Harrington, he understood it was likely a cultural misunderstanding and went to bat for this bishop. Yet another attempt to honor God's law and love his unknown neighbor that put him at odds with the powers that be. From Mwanga's point of view, Joseph Mukasa was a traitor to the kingdom of Buganda, speaking up about things that were not his to determine. And not long after Hannington was killed, Joseph Mukasa was beheaded as well. After Joseph Mukasa's death, Charles Lwanga became the head attendant, continuing efforts to protect younger attendants from the king's sexual advances and continuing to catechize within the court. Several months after the death of Joseph Mukasa, Mwanga called together all the attendants and demanded that they renounce their Christian faith if they were truly loyal to their king. As a group, the attendants refused, and the king condemned them to death. On June 3, 1886, Charles Lwanga, 12 fellow Catholic court attendants, and 9 Anglican attendants were all burned to death. From a distance of 135 years, there's probably much about this story we find uncomfortable to wrestle with. The intertwined nature of colonization and evangelization, the relationship between sex and power, the tension between one's culture and one's Christian faith, the perils of cultural misunderstanding and different ways of interpreting the same events. This doesn't seem to be the saint's story that you might read to children. Perhaps part of the reason the story is so uncomfortable is because so many of these tensions are still so alive in our own time. It is no idyllic, simple world in which we are called to love God and neighbor, but a tremendously complicated one, where it is not always clear what the most loving thing to do would be. Nothing is clean cut. Charles Lwanga, Joseph Mukasa, and their companions can also be our companions. We, like they, might not always have lasting solutions that will put everything right once and for all. We make decisions one day at a time with as much clarity and courage as we can garner in the moment. Loving God and loving neighbor sometimes also results in making enemies, being misunderstood, being labeled traitors. But like Charles Lwanga and Joseph Mukasa, we do the best we can in the messy times in which we live, knowing that the Cliff Notes version of the story can never capture the complexity of what love really looks like in the messiness of time.